The subject today is the prophetic tongue rewriting destiny. The prophetic tongue rewriting destiny. And it is the story of God raising a transformational leader. And we see the place of the tongue, you know, the place of the tongue in a transformational leader. Any leader who is going to bring transformation must carry a prophetic voice. And that is why today the Lord put in my heart to share this subject, the prophetic tongue, rewriting destiny. As we are getting ready to get to Ezekiel 37, there is a testimony in the house. Our sister Helen took her sister-in-law, Kellen. Helen and Kellen took her sister-in-law, Kellen, who was suffering cancer, to India. They were there for 77 days. The report I have is that there is a big testimony. She's completely cleared of cancer. Kellen is cleared of cancer. And as a church, we thank God. Helen is here, the one who took, as a caregiver, took her sister-in-law. She's here. If you would stand. There she is. Helen is there. Thank you very much. God bless you. God bless you. So I will share the word. At the end, there's a clip we'll also do. I know media there was another clip. Let me share the word, and then this clip will come at the end. The prophetic tongue rewriting destiny. Ezekiel 37, verse 1 to 10. I'll read the scriptures. If we all stand, then we honor God's word. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit. And it's important that we are moved by the Spirit. And this is none other but the Spirit of the Lord. And set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones. That is what this leader is taken to see. On the floor of the valley. Bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I'll make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come breath from the four winds, and breathe into this slain, that they may live.'" Let us read verse 10 together. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Hallelujah. We may have our seats. Father in heaven, I want to thank you so much for the school of prophecy. And Lord, I thank you for the individual in this school, namely Prophet Ezekiel. And God, as we all go through the school of prophecy, Lord, I pray that you would remind us the place of prophecy in bringing life. And I thank you for this opportunity that we have as we make kingdom confessions that bring change. And so, Lord, I pray, would you use me? In Jesus' name we pray. And we all say, amen. Amen. Transformation is within reach. Transformation is within reach of the tongue. Now, in Proverbs 18, verse 21, the Bible says, the tongue has power, and this tongue has power to give life or to minister death. And he says those who love it will eat its fruits, its fruit. And so today we bring our tongue to the Lord. As a father, bring your tongue to the Lord. As a mother, bring your tongue to the Lord. As a child, bring your tongue to the Lord. As a boss, as a worker, as somebody in the city, in the village, somebody in the country, the continent, and around the world. I think we have a chance to bring the tongue to God and say, Lord, touch my tongue, like you did Ezekiel many years ago, with a prophetic anointing. Because we live in a season where the prophetic anointing is needed. And we live in a season where prophecy is actually needed. And not just any prophecy, but liberating confessions. You know, it is proclamations that actually bring life. Like I just read in the book of Proverbs, the tongue can minister discouragement. Somebody can talk to you. You end up so discouraged. You end up so beaten. You end up so defeated. But somebody else can speak to you. And I tell you, you end up flying, you know, with wings like an eagle. I don't know what kind of speech you have experienced this week. But if you have experienced negative speech that is death invoking over your life, I renounce it in Jesus' name. And I reverse it in Jesus' name. Because this is the school of prophecy. That's where we are. And therefore, I reverse it. And I come like Ezekiel to the dry of valley of dry bones. And I pray that this coming week, fathers and mothers, workers, and people shall go all over Kenya like Ezekiel. And they shall go with a prophetic tongue. Let me say that there is nothing impossible with God. There is absolutely nothing impossible with God. And so, if you had the word impossible in your vocabulary, today connect with this God, the author of prophecy, and believe with me that there is truly nothing impossible with God. That home may be looking like dry bones right now. That ministry may be looking like dry bones. Your life may be feeling very disjointed and very disconnected. May probably be feeling very, very dry. And you're in a scenario and a situation where you feel like nothing will ever leave or nothing will ever rise. There's somebody in the service here whose dreams have died. But today, with a prophetic voice, I call forth the resurrection of the dream in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you believe with me, give a hand to the Lord. He deserves it. A prophetic tongue. When we were at the Shepherd's Forum yesterday, and I was still talking about prophecy there to the leaders, I said when David was facing Goliath, Goliath was first of all killed by the prophetic sword. Before the stone of David finally even landed to physically bring him down, he was prophetically dead. And this is because David had already proclaimed a prophecy over Goliath. When you read 1 Samuel chapter 17, you can give me on the screen 1 Samuel chapter 17 from verse 45. And this David there is a transformational leader. And you hear the language of a transformational leader. The confessions of a transformational leader. David says to the Philistine, he begins to prophesy now. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you, that is Goliath, have defied. This day, today, and yesterday, I said something about prophecy. I said prophecy collapses time. Prophecy takes the destiny God has authored and speaks it today. You know, you look at the destiny God has authored. You're dealing with your child, and you speak forth that destiny in the life of the child today. Yet they'll grow to be 50, 100, and 120 years. But you're bringing forth from eternity and into God's storehouse of what he has provided, and you are beginning it to speak it in the now. You know? And I'll be saying a little more about that. So he says today is not tomorrow. There's a sense of urgency. There's a sense of acceleration. There's a sense of immediacy with prophecy. And he says, this day, today, it is not tomorrow. The Lord will deliver you before it even happens into my hands. And I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day, I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Somebody needs to pick the spirit of prophecy. Because the mountain you are looking at, God is saying it's already gone in Jesus' name. You know, in Zechariah 4, Zerubbabel was told, it is not by power nor by might that you make it, but by the Spirit of the Lord you'll make it. Then he said, oh, Zerubbabel, what is this mountain you see before? I have turned it into level ground. And I'm speaking to families here, individuals here, to nations here, to Africa here. This is the school of prophecy. And God is saying, I want to raise transformational leaders who will speak prophetic language and who will address their future prophetically and be able to fetch destiny and bring it into the now and begin to declare, begin to decree, begin to confess, begin to speak, because God wants to do something with a prophet, and God works with the prophetic. And God is looking for the church to become prophetic to the city, prophetic to the nation, prophetic to the continent. Because God is saying, I want to do something, and I want a word released as I do what I need to do. And so, the experience of David was that a transformational leader stands up, looks up at whatever is opposing the destiny of a nation, and first of all, proclaims what he will do. That is prophecy. Before he even steps in, picks up a stone, and actually throws the stone. This guy, Goliath, is already dead prophetically. He's dead. The stone is just going to manifest what has happened already in the prophetic realms. And so, prophetic tongue rewriting destiny. And in the passage that we just read, it was about Ezekiel. And there are three things I want to say from this passage. One in the school of prophecy. One, the source of prophecy. Two, the power of prophecy. And three, the impact of prophecy. I repeat, the source of prophecy, the power of prophecy, the impact of prophecy. Let us start with the source of prophecy. A tongue aligned to heaven. In other words, a tongue speaking the language of heaven. Prophecy is a tongue speaking the language of heaven. If I was to give one of the definitions, it's really a tongue, any one of us, but not speaking ordinary language or idle words or gossip. No, prophecy is a tongue aligned to heaven. In other words, prophecy is a tongue speaking the lingua or the tongue. Speaking the language of heaven while on earth. That is prophecy. You are in a situation, you can see the circumstances, but instead of submitting to the tyranny of the situation and begin to speak the language of the situation and then having a woye spirit, and you know the way people come around and say, pole, pole sana, pole, pole sana. Pole gives me a hard time. I don't know whether that is prophecy. It's only the pole, pole, pole. Now, it creates a woye kind of feeling. You kind of feel depressed. But you know, prophecy is authority. And prophecy is the tongue of God, literally in man. It is the tongue given to you and to me by heaven. And when you actually align your tongue to heaven, then that is prophecy. From verse 1, I will read to 6. The hand of the Lord was on me, Ezekiel 37, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. And that valley, the reality, this is what you call facts, this is what you call the reality dimension. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them. And I saw, he was also seeing as he was walking around, and the picture is dire. A great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" This guy now must begin to rise in this school, because what he's seeing to the naked eye and to a human being is actually a situation that is beyond repair. And I thank God for his answer. Heaven asked him, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And he said, "Sovereign Lord," and this is true, "Sovereign Lord," and somebody is here, you're in a situation, and you're seeing how everything's surrounding you, and somebody is here, and you would identify with this one, and heaven is saying that this situation will change, and this person who is here is saying, only you, God, are you alone, nobody else, you alone know. A dire situation, difficult situation, somebody here, somebody following online, wherever you are around the world, there is a situation and it's a fact. It is dire, it is difficult, it looks like it is sealed with a signet ring of the Persian kings that was irreversible, you know. And the correct position here, he says, "You alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy." You see, this is how what heaven says. Prophesy. Begin to speak to these bones. Begin to speak. Begin to declare. Begin to decree. Begin to proclaim. Begin to make a confession to these dry bones. And you say this: "Hear the word of the Lord." In capital letters and exclamation mark. Say, "Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." I put it to us today in the school of prophecy that the source of prophecy is God, and that the source of prophecy is the word of God. It is not your opinion. It is not your feeling. It is not your dream. It is not anything out there. Prophecy must be tested against scripture. The source of prophecy is the word of God. You know, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "Test every spirit." You know, because there are some, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. But test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many false prophets. They are not coming from this script to prophesy in the valley. They are coming from their own feelings, their own opinions, their own dreams, their own persona, their own education, their own status, their own power. And that is what they are coming to deliver against a valley of dry bones. I want to say that's a very, very ineffective source. When your prophecy is coming from your own feelings or dreams or even fears, that's very, very ineffective. But a transformational leader is one who knows the source of the word that changes situations. And that word, I put it to us, is actually the word of God. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, and Joshua was a transformational leader, this is what he was told. "Keep this book of the law," and it is this one, the word of God, "always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." This is Joshua after he takes over from Moses, and God is telling him how to become a transformational leader. And he tells him, you must have the prophetic. And you need to have the word with you everywhere you go. And this is how you're going to be a leader. You will cross the Jordan. Jericho will come down. You shall defeat Ai. You'll enter the promised land. You shall go north in the territory. You shall go south in the territory. You shall go eastward. You shall grow westwards. The whole promise that I gave to Abraham is still valid even now. And so as he goes back to the Word of God, he remembers the covenant, he remembers the promise, he remembers what God said, and therefore this leader can be confident at every point as he provides leadership and be able to take the Word of God and just simply proclaim it. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, and what else? A light unto my path. I normally say, your word is a lamp unto my feet. A lamp is for short-term movement because it's a lantern. It's like a lantern. You carry a lantern like this and you walk. It gives you a circle of light. And you can actually, your feet can see where to step because it's a lamp unto my feet. But your word is also a lamp unto my path. It is a beam of light, like the ones they use in the gold mines in South Africa. I shared here some time back when I went to South Africa and I went to the Gold Reef City. I had a chance to enter that shaft to go where they dredge the gold or mine the gold down there. And I took the trains that there are railways inside there. And I was given a lamp. That's how I came to understand this one. Here, a kofia, and it had a light, and you switch on. Because the place is very dark. And you know when you're down there, this light just breaks through the darkness. And the place turns like day. And you can actually walk confidently, turn when you're on those trolleys, on the rock structure, and actually see the veins, you know, and how the gold is put inside there. You know, they have to mine it. It's a lot of work. And you see it very, very clearly. I want to say that as a child of God, he has put a dynamic in you called his word that is able to fetch destiny from wherever it is. The construct of your destiny from wherever it is. And then pull it into the now and speak it as it was. I mean, speak it in the now. And that is why God's word must be in our lives. People here go to prophets. Nairobi, this city, has also prophets of all kinds. My son, I hope you've never gone. I know you're from Nakuru. That's your city. But I hope you've never gone to one of those ones. And they spend a lot of money. Thank God the word of God is free. I mean, it is free. Why are you going to pay so much money to someone who is going to waste your time, to really lie to you, and eventually leave you in a ditch after taking so much of your money, leave you in a worse situation in the name of prophecy? And, you know, people have mistaken prophecy for fortune telling. You know, even the stars, Sagittarius, some people say my star is, I was born in November, so I don't know which one it is. Did I say it? I was wrong. Anyway, I don't know those stars. They are there. And there are people, Brother Juno, who take them very seriously. Before they step out of the day, they must check what is the star saying. And if the star says don't step out of your house, they are going to be inside their house. They are going nowhere. You know, others are going to fortune tellers. And these are people who throw, not that I've been there. dice, you know, Brother Jack. They throw them around. If it falls facing a certain direction, then this guy will look at that and then begin to speak, to decree and declare over your life, about your business, about your children, about everything else. You know, if you are here and you've been going there, if you are online also, you're going to stop it right now in Jesus' name. That is not prophecy. That is a lie from the devil. That is a work of the enemy. It is clear to me when Ezekiel in the school of prophecy is actually faced with a dire situation, he says, you alone know, God, what needs to be done here. And then God now tells him, this is how you go about it. Prophesy. And then God gives him a word. It is called the word of knowledge, the word of discernment, the word in season. It is a word of prophecy. And he gives him that word. It is living, it is active. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. God's word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and judging the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now, this is the word that God gives him, and this is the heart of prophecy. It is the core of prophecy. The word of God is the heart of prophecy. And this word is nothing outside the 66 books of the Bible, and from Genesis up to Revelation, and in between there, that is the place to go. If you want to pick a word of prophecy, if you are visiting a patient in hospital, if you are going to visit somebody in an office, if you are dealing with a financial situation that's dire, you'll find a word. You will find a word. God will give you a word to carry. You will go as a prophet. You will walk with that word. You walk with it. And you go up to the destination where you are going, carrying that word. And then you actually release it. And so Joshua was told, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall do what? Meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you shall make your way successful, and you shall make your way prosperous. There is no other way. And let me encourage us, leaders, and when I say leaders, I'm talking about everyone. You are a leader. God wants to distinguish you from the nominal everyday leader to a transformational leader who brings life. Somebody who makes a difference. A transformational leader. And therefore, you need to walk in the prophetic. You need to carry God's word, and you need to be confident in terms of releasing it. And so we thank God that God has already given us the word. It is here. And today, Heavenly Father, Parklands Baptist Church, we rededicate ourselves to your word. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I call you back to devotions. Call you back to quiet time. I call you back to time with God and His Word. You will be a transformational leader. But secondly, the power of prophecy. When the Word is given, it is to be released. Verse 7, the power of prophecy. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. The word of God is powerful, and the word of God delivers heaven's touch. The tongue that brings the resurrection, the tongue that brings life, you know, is a tongue that releases the word. You just release the word and allow the word to do its work. At the grave of Lazarus, John chapter 11, verse 43 and 44, Jesus facing a dire situation also. Lazarus had died, about 4 days dead, has been there in the grave, already kind of smelling, and it's not a nice place to be. And Jesus stands at the grave of Lazarus in verse 43. Then he said, when he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let them go." You know, as he prophesied, many things started happening. The bones started looking for each other, and bone came to bone. Now, I have studied this passage for many years, and the intriguing part, or part I've always wanted to understand, is how bones located each other. But over time, I have come to understand that a prophetic voice marks a bone for its partner, and a prophetic voice leads a bone to its partner. And so when you release a prophetic voice, that which is scattered in the life of a person, you may have somebody looking so together, but they are broken. They are broken to pieces. You're just meeting somebody. They are looking okay, but inside, They're just broken to pieces. And you say a word in season. The prophetic voice has the power to pick what had scattered here and there and there and there and bring them back to emotional stability or mental stability or spiritual stability or just a physical unity. The word of God is able to fix what nothing else can actually fix. And our God is very powerful, releasing the power through the word. Other things in verse 11. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy to them. He begins to talk to this body or group of people, the Israelite nation. And the word now becomes life in their life. In John 6 verse 63, the Bible says the following. John 6 and verse 63. Just give me that verse 63. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and what? And life. So you speak a word that is carrying life, then you see the immediate reaction to that word. During Mother's Day, I decided to visit mothers in distress. And so I picked a hospital, Nairobi West Hospital, and I chose Mother's Day gift. Is actually just to visit mothers who are in hospital. And you know, you enter a room and you find a mother in distress. You also find some of the relatives there. And it's very interesting when you just share God's word. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. By his stripes we are healed. And then you say, Mommy, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. And Jesus was crushed for you. By his wounds, your wounds are restored. And suddenly, as you move from this room to that room, you see hope beginning to form. Somehow, the prophetic word has a way of putting things together. And that's what he's saying in verse 7. Yeah, then in 8, I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breath into the slain, that they may live. Just by ministering a prophetic word, then things begin to come together. My sister Nice, you remember, when I came to your village in Mashuru, and we had that big tent meeting. And you remember it was at night. Yeah. And the moment of prophecy came. You remember the power in that place. And there were many people. You had brought them in tents. And they were all over. And you invited me all the way to come and stand in that place. Address strongholds. Speak prophetically. Decree and declare. And I stood there trusting God. In the middle of the night. And I began to prophesy. And as I began to prophesy, you saw the impact. Hallelujah. To date, eh? Yes. And it's been a month, 2 months, 3 months. Yeah, since that time. That family of yours where there is this struggle, don't stop fighting. Going to witches, I said you to do what? Simply take God's word and speak it. And begin to say, you bones, dry bones, you live again. Come together from here and there, and the flesh and everything else come together, because heaven says your jubilee has come. Heaven says your day of rest has arrived. Your day of release is here. Your day of restoration is here. Your day of redemption is here. And you say a redemptive word, it works a work called redemption. That prophetic word, redeemed, you know, I release redemption upon your life. Suddenly, redemption comes upon that life. That family can be restored in Jesus' name. You know, this week, my son who is in Germany had an accident in a place he's working. He's a student about to finish his master's degree this September in Berlin. But he has a part-time job. So he went to work at night, and in the workplace had an accident in the middle of the night, and then he's taken by ambulance, rushed to a certain hospital. All the time they are not telling me, but the sister in Canada got information, but they decided they are not telling me until the day morning, you know, to spare their father, to spare him agony. And he's put there, and in the morning, by the time they are calling me, they are taking him to theater. And he enters in for surgery, and I'm telling you that wait was long, up to two, you know, as they are working on him, and they are repairing what was actually broken. Eventually, when my son comes from theater and is able now to communicate by text, I remember releasing a prophetic word over his life. And it is the same Isaiah 53 verse 5. My son, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. And I remember writing another scripture because his bones had been broken. I said, this one Ezekiel here. Every bone will find its bone. And every tissue will find its tissue. And everything will come together. Hallelujah. He was admitted last Wednesday. He may be discharged maybe on Tuesday this week. And yesterday we had a video conference. And the pain is gone. And he was showing us how the Lord has fixed stuff. We are doing it online. And this morning, very early, he sent me a picture where the bandages have been removed. And he's telling me, Dad, look. Yeah? You know, in that picture, I am saying this. In those scenarios and situations, what is needed is a prophetic word. Not a woye, pole. No. Stand firm. Stand strong. Face the mountain. Speak to it. You know, Matthew 17 verse 20 says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you say to this mountain, hallelujah, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there. And to do what? It will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Fathers, mothers, sons and daughters, listening to me, let us turn back to the place of prophecy. Let us speak to each other prophetically. I had a couple who told me they were having a hard time with their child. And I told them, the word of God regarding this child has not changed. The reality and circumstances you are seeing may look like this child is getting lost. But I want to tell you the word of God has not changed. And I gave them Psalm 112 verse 2 that says, your children shall be mighty, strong and mighty in the land. And verse 3 says, wealth and riches shall be in their houses. And I said, the situation you are seeing is like this, but the reality of scripture is this one. Today, join me in declaring over your child that our child shall be strong and mighty in the land, and wealth and riches shall dwell in this child. And so we take the destiny from wherever it is and then bring it to the now, from the storehouse of God, bring it into the now and begin to speak. What is this future that you see? Can you take it and speak it in the now? Can you speak it to your children and to your friends and to your circumstances, even your business and also your finances? I was in the Methodist church last Sunday, Methodist church, and we had a very good time. And they gave me a very interesting topic that I've not addressed in other places. And it was about finances. Imagine a pastor going to talk to a whole church about wealth creation, actually. That was the subject. And me, I went back to prophecy. I said, heaven is saying it is open. And God is saying he'll bless the work of your hands. You lend to many nations and borrow from none. Heaven is also saying he'll give you power to make wealth. And therefore, you shall be, three things were said there. You'll be rich, you'll be wealthy, you'll be very wealthy. Genesis 26, verse 13. Yes, verse 13. It's about Isaac. Rich, wealthy, very wealthy. In one verse. Yeah? The man became rich, and then his wealth continued, and then to grow until he became very wealthy. That was my sermon. Rich, wealth, and very wealthy. And it's the word of God. And so I say, decree this. Declare this. Your finances may be looking very dire, but take a scripture like this And he said, heaven is saying this concerning me. Young people of Africa, once again I repeat, 15 million shillings shall be pocket change for you. Young people, I say it again, of Africa, 15 million shillings shall be pocket change for you. You shall be kingdom financiers. Young people, God bless you. Believe it. Receive it. This pastor here is prophesying, and he's taking a destiny and releasing it to you. Receive it in the name of Jesus. And so this word released brings life. But finally, I must say, the impact of prophecy. In verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. This is a tongue aligned to testify. I say to somebody here that God is bringing you to a place of testimony. And you shall stand there and you shall testify. Why? Because the victory God is about to give you will blow your mind. Let me repeat that. The victory God is about to give you will blow your mind. I am inviting you to the mountain of testimony. God is saying here today that I am releasing somebody, favor on somebody. That favor will locate you. In this coming week, favor will locate you. Doors will open that you never imagined. And God himself is going to open these doors. And because of this, the impact will be clear. People will see, and you shall testify. In Acts chapter 3, from verse 4, there is a guy who gets a quick testimony after a decree of healing is released over his life. Acts chapter 3, verse 4 to 10. Peter looked straight at him as John did. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, do what? Walk. Taking him by the hand, right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Verse 9, when all the people saw him, this is the testimony part, walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Your prophetic word will produce signs and wonders. And because of the prophetic word, a testimony is coming in your direction. Your neighbors will see what the Lord is able to do. Hallelujah. And even the children will notice. There's a young boy, and I think the mother is upstairs or downstairs, and lives in my neighborhood. And this boy has been observing me. He's 9 years old. 9 years old. Cliff, you met him this morning as I drove here. The 9 year old boy who was my co-driver as I came to church. He comes from my neighborhood. So this boy has been observing me. And once in a while, I would notice that he would cycle his bicycle, trying to catch up with me and all. Eventually, he came when I was parked at the gate, spoke to me, and he said, I want to follow you. I want to be going to church with you. Today was the first day, by the way. Today was the first day. A 9-year-old boy, I want to be going to church with you. Today, he came through my gate very early. And as I prepared, eventually I got out. He got on the side, and we came. We came to church. I brought him to church, and you met him right there. A young man of 9 years old. Now, when we were in the car, he was telling me the things he has seen and noticed in me from his perspective. First, he said, your car is very clean. Your car is always clean. And you also are very smart. And then he went on and on. A young boy. And we drove 20, 25 minutes. I was listening to his speech. You know, this boy is like a mirror. he was speaking a testimony regarding me. And this is a testimony from a young boy. I did not know that boys like that observe our lives and girls in our estates, in our neighborhoods. And they can tell the difference between this one and the other one. Let me say this. Your testimony will speak to the nations. Hallelujah. Yeah, we can give a proper hand to the Lord. Your testimony will speak to the nations. And God is aligning your tongue to testify and simply to say what the Lord has done. Psalm 118 verse 23 says, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. The same chapter, yeah, the Lord has done this. Go to verse 15 now. Verse 15, back to verse 15, same chapter. Verse 15. Say something about shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. May I declare signs and wonders in your tent? Signs and wonders. These are things that people cannot miss. And God is going to do that. The anointing in me, the prophetic anointing in me, is leading me to say that the victory, and I repeat it, God wants to give you, will blow your mind. And that this victory will be seen by all, and they will wonder, and they say, how did this come about? Then they will get to know it's the Lord who has done it. That anointing is leading me to say that what the Lord is about to do is coming quickly. For you, for our city, for our nation, is coming quickly. And I invite us, therefore, to join Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones and say, there is nothing impossible with God. To join him there and begin to speak to the impossibilities and to say, that which is not, looks impossible, becomes possible. To join Ezekiel and saying, God has made a way where there was no way, and God has made a breakthrough where there was actually none. I want us to make a declaration and then I will pray. Could we stand as we do this declaration? This is a declaration. We will never lose our prophetic voice. Once I say, then you can repeat after me. We will never lose our prophetic voice. Our future will be shaped by what we speak. We shall never lose our voice to point generations towards God. We shall influence families, communities, cities, nations for the glory of God. We shall not be sustained by tradition, but by fresh oil, by fresh fire, by fresh grace from the Holy Spirit. Our future, victory is secure. We are marching into it. Jehovah is our God. Jehovah is our strength. The word of God is our light. From here forward, we shall speak prophetically. We shall expect prophetically. We shall live prophetically. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen. Let's give a big hand clap to Jesus. A big hand. A big hand to the Lord. Glory to God. We can do another one. I think we can do another hand to the King of Kings. Now you have gone through the school of prophets. I declare you prophets in the mighty name of Jesus. And so prophets are not those people wearing, funny gowns and wakorino turbans and stuff like that and long beards. No. A prophet is you and a prophet is me. As we go into those valleys, let us take God's word and let us just simply decree it and speak it forth. And I promise us that we shall see God doing so many, many things that have remained undone because those things are waiting the word of prophecy. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this moment. And I thank you for this school of prophecy. I thank you for the way you raised Ezekiel from a nominal leader to a transformational leader by simply giving him a word of prophecy for the valley of dry bones. And God, you encouraged him to go and speak forth prophecy. That is all he carried to that valley. And he went and spoke. And there was a manifestation that blew his mind. Just like I have said, you are going to do something in the life of somebody that will blow their minds as they prophesy. And God, thank you that you took Ezekiel through that school. And I thank you that he obeyed. Although within himself he felt it is impossible. But God, he obeyed. Now as we go to our families, as we go back to our careers, as we go back to our schools, as we go back to our businesses, as we go back to our work, as we go back to our families, as we go back to our scenarios, as we go to visit people in hospitals, in prisons, in all kinds of places, my Lord, I pray that you lead us now as transformational leaders, that you lead us forth as a multiplication of Ezekiel's, prophet Ezekiel's, that God, you give us a word of knowledge, a word of discernment, that you fill us with your word, and wherever we go into our situations, we shall speak forth your word, we shall decree your word, we shall declare your word, we shall release your word. And this coming Sunday, because of obedience and because of releasing the prophetic word, my God, we shall have testimonies galore as we gather here next Sunday. People will come from all ends of the earth and they shall come to say, see what the Lord has done in our valleys. He has done something that we have never seen before. And therefore, I'm commissioning this assembly, I'm commissioning this congregation from a school of prophecy, and I commission them now as prophets into the nations, that they may speak forth your word, and that, Lord, among the nations, they may bring life. And Lord, I have done this prayer and this commissioning in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen. Amen. A big hand clap to Jesus. Glory to God. Just a short moment. While we are just standing, there was that clip, that announcement. It has to do with this book. If we can have it, media, do you have it ready? Let's have it quickly on the screen, and then we do the benediction while we are still standing.
In a cold Roman prison, the Apostle Paul made one final request. Bring me my cloak and my books. Even in his final days, he was still reading, still growing, still seeking divine insight. Now, in this Jubilee season of 50 years, Reverend Ambrose Nyangao, Elder of the Bani Shia, presents The Divine Frequencies at 50, a liberating spiritual devotional designed to tune hearts back to God's voice. This book is far-reaching, impactful, inspiring, intentional, and transformative. 50 powerful frequencies for deeper revelation, greater purpose, and kingdom impact. Grab your copy now for only 1,000 shillings. Read, reflect, tune in, because heaven is still speaking.
Heaven is still speaking. Isn't that so? Let's give a hand to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are blessed on Monday, blessed on Tuesday, blessed on Wednesday, blessed on Thursday, blessed on Friday, blessed on Saturday. And this coming Sunday, you're coming back with a testimony in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Amen. Shalom.